I read that the New York Times realized that YouVersion, that's the Bible app that Life Church TV, Life Church Greg Groeschel and his whole group put on the market, and some of you may have that on your iPhone, Yahoo, iPad or whatever, but that app has reached 100 million downloads. 100 million YouVersion downloads. Could you knock this down just a little bit? Now last week we talked about I read that the Kindle, the most highlighted book there is the Bible. We talked about it being Philippians 4 as being the most highlighted verse, Philippians 4:6. So anyway, I have YouVersion. I went on that to check something out. What's really helpful about that app is that when you select a verse, you can immediately pick any of, I don't know, 30-some translations. So you can see varieties of words. Often the Greek and the Hebrew words, the English words, we don't just quite have it. You know, it's kind of like the Eskimo's word for snow. There's like 17 of them. In Michigan, we just know one. It's fun. School closes, you know. So it's cool doing that. But when I opened it up, I had a banner that said, hey, if you want to today, you can begin a 10-part video series on the 10 most highlighted verses in the Bible on YouVersion, people using YouVersion. I went, wow, I want the number one. Boop, boop, op. Up pops John Piper, a 4-minute video, and you'll never guess on what. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I went, wow, all right. We were right on target last week. Last week, we talked about Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. The too happy command, T-W-O, but also T-O-O. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Tiger Woods almost hit 59 on Friday. I was watching with great joy for all that Tiger represents. Come on, I'm rooting for him. Come on, Tiger. And I'm thinking about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What does that bring? It then brings to you a reasonableness, a gentleness. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. I watched Max Scherzer last night. Come on, buddy. Get to 16-1. And in the meantime, I'm feeling a little anxiety about this morning. And got my one eye over here and one eye down here, you know. And deciding that rejoicing in the Lord, last week we talked about resetting joists, those foundational beams of the Father's, what we sang earlier, scandalous love. It's tumultuous. It's like the Niagara Falls dumping on you. That it's the honeymoon that never ends. That's how the Father rejoices. And the Son who intervenes and intercedes, who is alive forevermore and has the keys to whatever your struggle is in, but the most important struggle, surviving this life, that key, the key of Hades, the key of death, that is in his hand. He holds those keys. And that the Spirit who indwells us, resides in us, we are his residence. One of my more motivating things when I think about it, because I can plow through a row of double stuffed Oreos. Once you've done double stuffed Oreos, how can you ever do a single? It's just crazy to me. So you always get the double stuffs. I can plow through a row, and every now and again it just crosses my mind as I chug that thing down, that the Holy Spirit residing in me has a lot of work to do, cleaning out whatever is that white stuff is. It's residing. And those thoughts, that I am the home of the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God wants to walk with me into a sacred future. We are nervous, Carolyn, about you driving up to the UP. We think you should walk. And we're talking about, you know, and I'm 66 this Wednesday, and I had to write that number down. Actually, I had got a physical recently. I had to write 65 down because I was still only 65. And I wrote it down. I've been writing my birthday forever. Hey, 747, what's that mean? But this time it asked me my age. And I had to actually write a 6 and a 5. And you know, I had a disconnect when I looked at that. Who is this? Who is this? And so as I'm walking, and I see more clearly, as we do as you get older, the things that aren't quite what they used to be. I used to be able to go into Southwood Christian School just as a part of, I would skip 5 steps going up. God says, I jump 5. I was watching the football players the other day skip 10 steps. I used to skip 5. So how many think you could skip now? Well, if I can hold on to a railing. As I'm thinking about my future, we're talking with Lynn about her mom, who's 102, how do you guide, and who's going to be at our side to help us decide how will we meet our end, and so on. And you guys are way younger. I mean, hang in here with me. But the Spirit walks with us into that sacred future. Those are 3 solid things to think about when you are rejoicing the Lord. And when circumstance or a person or just your own stinking head just is beating you up about whatever and despair is coming your way, rejoice in the Lord. That is not just a fake, forget about reality and put your head in the sand and just go into some mantra-like thing. No. There are realities in this life that, though not seen, are more real than the things that are seen. And those realities, that the Father's love is Niagara Fall-like, that the Son holds the keys to whatever has you locked down, that the Spirit will walk you into your sacred future. So, as you now face whatever, now we talk with God. I'm talking to you now. I heard the other day that we can talk about 150 words per minute. I don't know if I make that or not. And you make it. However, our brains actually can process 200 to 250 words more than that. It's like a 350 word per minute processor, 400 word. So there's a gap, which is why right now I'm going to draw a couple of you back to me right now, just by simply moving. But you're thinking you are somewhere else right now, and your mind is thinking about, well, would Chipotle be good, or are we going home again, and so you can have, as you well know, every spouse knows, every child knows, that you can have several conversations going on at once, the one that you're actually hearing in your ears, and then the one that you're saying to yourself. And what I'm saying then is that gift of being able to do 2 at once, I think one great purpose of that is that we might have a running dialogue with God. As I am speaking to you right now, I am having a running dialogue with God. Father God, I need you in this moment. Spirit of God, would you grab a hold of these words, turn them into whatever is needed here in front of me. God, you're that good. Would you relax me? Would you bring blessing and favor as you want to do. This is not, come on, God, be happy for once. It's not it. No, that God wants us with thanksgiving to present our request to him so that we could experience the peace of God. Now, that's a monstrous peace. Today, I robbed, courtesy of Theodore Siskel. Is that his name? Dr. Seuss. Yeah. So that, you know, that book, Oh, the Things You Can Think. And it's just crazy, all the things you can think. But I loved it for all of its imagination. And in fact, I went to the elementary school library last night to try to get a copy. And we don't have it. I assume Bruce has it checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but you have, looks like you have just about every other book there, but you didn't have that one. Other things you can think. And so I'm cheating a little bit on that, and then I'm creating my own little subtitle, and the do's you can do. Because these next two verses, Philippians 4, these are jailhouse verses, remember. This is written from a guy who is in jail. And so to hear Ben say again, that this, you know, this is a book about joy. This book got its start by the release of the Philippian jailer, by the release of that jailer. I mean, this book is all about jail. And yet here we are to rejoice in the Lord. Here our gentleness is to be known. Here we're to have conversational prayer with God. And here we are on finally, brothers, whatever is. And then he ticks off these six things. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I take the whatever to mean whatever, wherever you find that. God's stamp, listen, we sang that song, the fact that caught my eye when it said, the mountains bow down and the seas will roar at your name. I'm going, the mountains bow down? Listen, if a rock-hard mountain bows down to the God of the universe, surely this skeleton can do that. The mountains bow down. Mountains are beautiful. My mom, who's in heaven now, she would often say, if I had my choice between a mountainside and an oceanside, I'd choose the oceanside. I said, why is that? She said, well, because I love the, and I, many of you remember when we would go to Ocean City, New Jersey, and she would say to me, Phil, could you take me down, particularly if there was a storm? Could you take me down to the ocean side? I said, for what? It's miserable out there. She says, I want to see the waves. And just that cheering song. And my mom, that was something lovely to her. It was admirable to her. It's the wind and the waves. And whether she thought about the wind and the waves being controlled by Jesus the Master, I don't know. Now, mountains, I think, are really cool just because of the clouds and the sun and all that. They're always changing to me. But it's the ocean side. So I take that whatever to mean whatever. Certainly, though, it also refers to whatever is true of the character of God. So on your outline there, I went, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts? Well, I'm quoting for you Psalm 139. 17. How amazing are your thoughts concerning me, O God? They cannot be numbered. When I was little, my mom made, I got five brothers and sisters, made us all memorize Psalm 139. Now, I suppose she could have said memorize Psalm 119. That would have been a bear. There's a lot of verses in Psalm 119. But Psalm 139, it's got 24 verses in it. And I was for, hey, could we do the Psalm 23 one? That's kind of six. That's a little shorter. And there's some even shorter, Psalm 145. There's a psalm that only has one verse in it, you know. But this one, 139 is empty. How amazing are your thoughts concerning me, O God? They cannot be numbered. What are God's thoughts? Think on these things. Whatever is true and noble and right, pure and lovely and admirable, if there's anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about it. What are God's thoughts? What is God thinking about? What is his mind turning over right now? And then this verse came to mind. His thoughts towards me. Now you have three adjectives here. His thoughts towards me are precious. They're personal. And they're endless. God's thoughts towards me are precious, personal, and endless. And that word, this is the NIV version here, an alternate translation of amazing there, but it actually is this word precious, which means it's just of high value. It comes at cost. I heard somebody say, when we say precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints, like, oh, you know, they finally got him home. And what this preacher was saying, hey, listen, this getting us home came at great cost to God. It was a costly. So he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, this is costly, and I gladly do it. I gladly do it. I've been a teacher forever at Southfield Christian School. Justin is one of my former students, and you know, I say as a joke when I run to an alumni, I say, hey, it's good to see you. Remember, you still owe me some homework. And that is not a precious thought. I think it's funny, but it's not a precious thought. God does not have those thoughts towards us. They are amazingly precious. They're amazingly of value. Not like mine. They're personal. They are to me. Now, there is some sense that God's thoughts are towards all of us. But this is what strikes the psalmist when he says, who is this God that he is mindful of me? But the God in heaven, he is mindful. I don't know. You are losing some hair. All right. So he is mindful. And now we have this in other examples in Scripture of the care, what God knows about Don Munson. And he knows that he needs clothes to wear. He knows the food that he needs. He knows what tomorrow will bring. He knows the height it'll be. He says, don't worry about your height. You can't add or take it. He knows the hairs on his head. He knows that his appointment, days of his appointment. So, you know, I'm still waiting for the results from my physical. And and one of the things I say to myself, listen, the God of the universe knows this end. And it is not a scary end. In fact, in Jeremiah, through the prophet, he says this is an anticipated, hoped-for end. My plans for you, now this was directed first to Israel, now I'm stretching out to us, are to give you hope in the future. It's an expected end. You can look forward to it. And those thoughts are for me. And God knows how I'm wired. He knows my tastes. All the days, and Psalm 139, those of you that know that psalm, you know that, you know, before you were born, while you're in your mommy's tummy, he's got this all worked out. It's all worked out, all already in there. He knew how tall I'd be, which jeans would flip on that would give me my mom, which ones would flip to give me my dad, which ones would just come from nowhere, your alien, I don't know where that came from. And all of that, his design, the wiring of me, God's thoughts towards me are personal, and they're endless. The next line in this verse says, it's not like, okay, let's see. Wow, it's 12:02. Phil, you better get a move on, because I'm leaving now. I've got other people to think about. No, God still has his mind on me. This is God. He's thinking of you right now. And what your needs are, how he might increase your joy in him, how he might grow your faith and trust and confidence in him, how your hope comes from knowing, how you could increase your knowing of the truth so that your hope could have a spike. Finally, brothers, whatever, think on these things. In fact, when I say to somebody, oh, they tell me whatever their difficulty is, I'll be thinking about you. What does that do? Nothing. Nothing. Now maybe there'll be a prayer behind that. It's a kind word. It's a tender word. It's a sincere word. Yeah, I'll be thinking about you. But it means nothing. Unlike God's thoughts translate to a doing. They translate to action. They're actionable. The thoughts of God become the words of God. The word of God becomes Jesus. And Jesus saves us. I mean, no, God's thoughts aren't just, hey, I'm thinking about you. No. This is, I got you. I've got your back. Now, my thoughts, search me, O God. This is how this finishes in the NIV. Test me and know my, do you know that blank? Anxious, yeah. Know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. And so my thoughts need fixing. My thoughts are not latched to eternity. My thoughts are latched to me right now in the present. My thoughts are desperate for fixing. And I one of the things, in fact, you know what? It was almost 25 years ago, if some of you would remember this. You guys, Dunning Park, hosted a seminar with Jay Carty. Anybody remember that? Okay. And it was a significant, my wife and I came to that, and it was a significant time for us. I forget if it was over three nights or whatever it was. It was for a little repeated time. But I learned from Jay Carty something 25 years ago that has served me to this day. And it's what he called the polar bear alert. And it's when this flock of thoughts just are sort of over your head and one of them plops down on you. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere. And it is a thought that should not be thought. It's an unthinkable thought. It might be sleazy, might be shameful, might be dirty, it might be crazy, it might be destructive. It pops in your head. That happens to you, because it happens to me. It just pops in your head. And he used this little metaphor of polar bear alert. Pictured a submarine going down deep, going, ooga, ooga, ooga. And I actually, in my brain now, when one of those thoughts pop in my head, I go, ooga, ooga, polar bear alert, polar bear alert. And the verse he taught us through a clever little mnemonic was 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations. We are destroying speculations. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience in Christ. And I work myself, and that thing, now, and back in the day, I used to like fight it. You know how they say, you know, don't think of a slithering snake, and all you can think about is a slithering snake, you know. And so it's not resisting it, it's replacing it. And as soon as that thought lands and I start, we are destroying speculations, pretenses, junk, lofty things that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then I run through some other things, but I mean, that's like my thoughts need fixing. And practice these things. Some of us are wired to be thinkers. Some of us are wired to be doers. Thinkers need to do more. Doers need to think more. But he hooks these two together. Practice these things. So verse 9 says, for the things that you have learned and received and heard in me and seen in me, practice these things. Now, he's calling them to him and to his disciples. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate one there to be following. But there are other men and women of God who have been great influences in my life that when we see who they are and we learn and we receive and we hear and we see, we go, wow, let me make a note about that. And that's the death of me. Because what he says, no, don't make a note about it. What does he say? Do it. Practice it. Practice these things. And so the son's yes, that's your blank there, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Jesus hears the Father's word and does it. In fact, everything that Jesus did is on word from the Father. That's what defined the life of Jesus. And so my yes, and I love the rest of the 2 Corinthians, and so through him, through Jesus, the amen, the so be it, Father, this is what you intend for me? Well, then through Jesus, so be it. I will speak that to your glory. You only believe what you actually do. It is true, Scotty Smith says it this way. He says, it is true that the gospel is the end of merit. However, please hear, it is not the end of muscle. Dallas Willard says it this way. The gospel is opposed to earning. It is not opposed to effort. There is a doing. One of the most stunning stories to me is the Peter walking on the water. I want to show you this clip and then we'll be done. Of Peter, remember they're in the storm. They've just witnessed this incredible miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He says to them, you go across the sea. He goes to the mountain to pray. And they're rowing their way across. A huge storm comes up. And they aren't making much progress because they're going against the wind, against the waves. And Jesus walks across the water. One of the gospel narrative says he intended to pass them by. That interests me. I'm going to get there before you guys are, you know. But Peter and the disciples, they see him, they think it's a ghost, they are scared out of their skin. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's I. It's me. And Peter, talk about practice these things. Linking, thinking, and doing. He says, if this is Jesus, you could have me do what you're doing. It's impossible. But if you're Jesus, you could have me do what you do. And he throws it out there. Jesus does not invite Peter to walk on the water. Peter makes the invitation to Jesus. If it's you, let me walk water too. Call me out of this boat. And Jesus says, come. Let's watch this. The lyrics to this song, by the way, are in the back of your outline. what is the emotion there at the very end? Joy. Every time I see that, I think about God's call. You can do what I do. Listen to my word. And as I call, if you'll do, practice these things. Think my thoughts. I'll take you places of joy, of joy. Father God, as we leave, we bless you for being mindful of us, for the provision of your Son, Jesus, as our Savior and intercessor, and for the indwelling of the Spirit of God who continually draws us to yourself. May the mind of Christ our Savior be born in us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.